Technorama episode 583 for December 4th, 2019. You see what you get on YouTube that you don't get elsewhere? You get to find out how the redos go.
Redo.
Welcome to Technorama. Again. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, in the something something studios in something something city. And right across from me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm in the something something city too. I'm doing pretty good.
You're in the other something something city.
That's true.
If you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard and thank you very much. If you're a returning listener, thank you for giving your time once again. We have some feedback.
Oh, do we?
Question of the week. Well, did you put a voicemail in the voicemail folder?
I did. Yes, there is one.
Okay, because I forgot to go get it.
I think I forgot to put it on the show notes. My fault.
No, it's my fault because I knew it should have been there. So let me go get that. And you know what? While we're doing that, we'll play the music and then oh so prepared on this show, right?
Yeah, like a well-oiled machine.
Oh, we get letters. We get your letters
every day.
Mailman, reach right in and pull one out. Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh boy,
mailman, mail today.
All right, and we have one here from Fritz. Fritz sends in a message. Let me bring that up. I have to bring it up in an external player so that I don't confuse things with the screen sharing going on.
Hello, time to say hello from Germany 101, everybody, from Fritz.
Thank you, Fritz, in Germany.
Yes, thank you very much. See, it is an international month.
That's
voicemail
right.
Month.
That officially makes it International Voicemail Month. Thank you.
There's one.
Well,
there's
wait,
one.
No, I called from Sydney.
Yeah, okay. I kind of give you that one. Yeah.
Kinda. How much further do I have to go?
Well, you're calling yourself. I don't know if that
surprise, I remember the number. That's not the right one. Where's the other one, Craig?
That came through. I don't know.
No, we get those all the time.
I know we do. It just sounds funny.
There was another one.
Was there?
The guy calling the complaint department. You're going to make me find it, aren't you? Let's see. I'm going to bring up Gmail because I might still have it. Come on, Gmail. Come on. Uploading speed is the problem, not downloading. Here we go. Google Voice. I'm not even going to tell you what phone number it was. Yeah, here we go. Play this message. See what we get.
Yeah, I would just like to complain. I believe that Chuck and Craig have both been replaced by machine.
True.
That in itself is not necessarily a problem because I think the quality of the show is improved. But honestly, some of the fake calls they get in is just starting to bother me. So I think that it's time that they came clean and we understood their serial numbers. Thank you.
This show is built by artificial intelligence. That's not even the message I was looking for. Where's the other one? There's the one from Fritz. Voicemail. I think it was in here. Nope. Hang on. I'm going to find it. There it is. Hold on. Oh, man, this person left a series of them.
Oh, the Incaffeinated one called us.
When did he call us?
Here, I'm going to save this one. How did I not see this?
I
love how we're making the show.
There's a whole series of these. We got a ton of them this week, yesterday and today. So, all right, let's keep playing these. This is news to us. We obviously didn't check them.
Hello,
you got them up in
the complaints line. The complaint about a lot of things, mostly that my number that I had for you was wrong, and That meant all the other calls I was making went to somebody else this month. I'm not really sure what that means. I'd like to also complain about a pair of chuckleheads that keep doing this show year after year and haven't really, changed in any substantial way. They're still just the same pair of chuckleheads they were a long time ago when I first started listening to the show, but that's okay, I suppose, considering I haven't really changed either. And it means that mostly it's rather interesting stuff that I guess I have to agree with. Oh, well, that's just fine.
I'll go with that. We haven't changed.
Hello, this is Mark the Encaffeinated One. I'm just picking up my voicemail. I thought I could press 1 and I would get my voicemail, but it seems like all that did was just make a beeping noise in my ear. I hope I made it for the voicemail month. I think that's what it is. It's like a month full of voicemail. I don't know which month that was supposed to be, but I'm hoping that this is the right one. Anyway, I guess you guys can continue to, you know, do the show and stuff. That'd be kind of nice. Bye now.
Which month are you? It's like a calendar. You are voicemail month of June.
Hey, see, it also doubles down on our internationalism because we have a Canada. He's in Canada.
That's right.
Oh, hey, it's Mark the Encaffeinated One. Still not able to pick up my voicemail, but I'm sure you guys are working on that. I don't know if you guys know or not, but I have been continuing to do things. I know you guys haven't called me back, and I get it. Things are busy, so, you know, I will just wait for you guys to call, I guess, to join me on the show or join you on the show or whatever. But, you know, I still work in radio and podcasting. I do sort of daily shows and stuff like that. I do stuff at my radio station, and I've been doing this daily thing. It was a 30-day challenge. I'm on day 455, I think, of the daily challenge for 30 days. You can find that, which is just me, really, wandering out loud on encaffeinated.ca. I think encaf.ca still works. And, soon going to be joining the dog days of Advent because apparently, just doing this for a year and something doesn't count as daily. So I'm going to continue to do that for another 24 days and then another 365 days after that, probably. So, just wanted to check in with you and how are things? Yeah, no, I'm still not hearing you. So I guess I'll just say goodbye.
I like the transcript on that. It says, and then another 300 days after that, probably dead.
By the way, the first voicemail you had, it said, hello, this is Marty Encaffeinated.
Right.
Inside, caffeinated.
We have more.
You guys still have my email address, I think, that I can still catch me on Facebook and stuff, in case you're trying to get a hold of me and I'm just not able to hear when you're asking me to, you know, do a guest feature on the show or take over the show or something. I mean, I know that, you know, it can't be easy with the two of you there. And I know Brian's there occasionally, but I think he's moving out. So, you know.
Hey, guest house.
It's Mark the Encaffeinated One, by the way. Just sort of checking in. Haven't, you know, done that for a while. Going to be traveling to California soon. Going to try to hit up two of my favorite things out there. The Winchester Mystery House and the Computer History Museum. Which I know you guys have been to at least one of those, but I've been to both.
This one says,
call me.
Oh, so, you know, sparkling caffeinated one.
I know. Gotta love Google translations.
Transcripts are great. Did we get them all? I think there's one more in here. Let's see. This one. Thank you, everybody who's been sending these in.
You remember that guy? He did the show, The Weird Show. That was a wonderful show. Whatever happened to him, anyway? I guess I've got to go now. See you later, Charles, and I'll talk to you later, Bill. Carl. That's it. Yes. See you later.
Carl.
Hi, I'm Carl.
So, thank you, everybody, for your voicemails. It has been a lot of fun. I think Mark the Encaffeinated One is trying to guilt us into getting him on the show. So we're going to have to do that real soon.
Yeah, I agree. I think so.
If he's in California, he can just swing on by.
Well, yeah, it's not that far of a ride.
Let's do the Facebook responses to last week's question of the week. Our question was, what is the most, quote, glitch in the Matrix experience you've had? And Jack Mangan just writes, deja vu. Jonathan, I like Jonathan Strickland's answer. He says, I was listening to the soundtrack to Spamalot at the gym. The Lancelot song came on just as I looked over to see Hank Azaria working out next to me. Azaria played Lancelot. Okay.
Ooh.
I think we're confusing glitch in the Matrix with just very great coincidences, but I'll take that.
Yeah, I'd go with it. Well, it's like seeing the Black Cat. You know, deja vu.
I had a moment like that when I was listening to, I think it was Stuff You Should Know. They were talking about how the Hoover Dam works as I drove over the Hoover Dam. Yeah. Or the bridge next to the Hoover Dam.
Well, it's good that it works.
Still working.
Yeah.
Brad says he was at Disney World, literally ran into a coworker at the entrance to Hollywood Studios. Former coworker Chuck says, I ran into a high school friend on campus in Madison, Wisconsin. I had not seen him for about 3 years. Then 2 days later, I ran into him again on the 22nd floor of a high rise in New York City. Twice. Hadn't seen him in, like, what? Stop stalking me.
Yeah. I've had that happen before, you know, where I saw somebody I knew and then just strange coincidence, you end up seeing him a couple more times.
Digital Dan Hook says, a friend swore he saw me, or my doppelganger, at a restaurant when I was home that night.
Ooh.
I've seen,
and he robbed the place.
I think I told you when we were standing waiting for the luggage in Sydney, we saw like Dave Slusher's lookalike waiting there. And I knew he was going to be in Sydney, so I thought it was him at the same luggage carousel. Yeah. Like he came in on our flight, was sitting somewhere else. Nope. I shouted out to him from about 10 feet away. I said, hey, Dave. And I know whoever it was heard me, but that guy never turned around.
Yeah.
And
ignore him. Ignore him.
Yeah.
Don't look back.
That was very strange.
Yeah.
Mark says, what's a Matrix? Bob says, define glitch.
Yeah.
Swaroop says, came here to ask the same question only to find this post by Chuck.
Right. That's funny.
What do you got?
I only had one response, one response, and it said, it was from Gary Lindros, says, the same person cut me off at the same intersection 3 days in a row.
What?
Wonderful. But then it went on, I put question marks, like you said, what? And then Gary says, I know, I didn't take, he says, I know, and I didn't take the either pill, or either color pill. And then Jack Manging pops in and says, it was me, Gary. That was no glitch.
Gary, next time take the purple pill.
Yeah. Let's mix them together.
You know what you get when you take the purple pill? Viagra.
Oh, there you go.
That is it for our feedback. Thank you, everybody, who responded. We're going to have another question of the week at the end of the show. Want to hear your answers. Which means it's time for the history. There is no Brian Brown in the studio. It's like there is no spoon. He has been busily working on finishing the details of his new home and is exhausted. And I can't say I blame him. They have been packing and unpacking and moving and assembling. And just, I think they left before dawn and came back after dusk. So kudos to him. We wish him all the best on his new house. Let's do the history thing without him. On this day in history for December 4th, 2019, this is the 338th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 27 days remaining in 2019. It was on this date in 1791 that the first edition of The Observer, the world's first Sunday newspaper, is published.
And that same date in 1861, the 109 electors of the several states of the Confederate States of America unanimously elected Jefferson Davis as president and Alexander H. Stephens as vice president.
On December 4th, 1865, North Carolina ratifies the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, followed soon by Georgia, and U.S. slaves were legally set free within 2 weeks.
And the crewless American ship, Mary...
Celeste.
Celeste. Well, I was going to say, never mind. Celeste was found by Canadian Brig de Gratia. The ship was had been abandoned for 9 days, but was only slightly damaged on this date in 1872.
It was ghosted.
Ooh.
Yeah, everybody was gone. It was just sitting there floating around, intact, fine shape, still a mystery. December 4th, 1881, the first edition of the Los Angeles Times is published.
And by a vote of 65-7, the United States Senate approves United States participation in the United Nations. The UN had been established on October 24th, 1945. On this date, in 1945.
So, approximately 6 weeks later, we said, yeah, we want to be part of that.
Yeah.
That same date in 1954, the first Burger King is opened in Miami, Florida.
And it was on this date in 1956 that the Million Dollar Quartet, Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Johnny Cash get together at Sun Studio for the first time and the last time, and they sang Baby on Board.
I wonder what they did sing. It was like, with that quartet, never really heard a record by them.
I was going to say, I'd never heard that before.
They probably got together for lunch.
I'm going to look for Million Dollar Quartet on Spotify. Maybe it's in there.
Hey, guys, what do you say we go for some peanut butter banana sandwiches? The Grateful Dead's first concert performance under this new name was on this date in 1965.
Hold on, I lost my place. 1965.
The same date in 65. Oh, yeah.
And that same date in 1965, the launch of Gemini 7, with crew members Frank Borman and Jim Lovell. The Gemini 7 spacecraft was the passive target for the first crewed space rendezvous performed by the crew of the Gemini 6A.
And that rendezvous was anything but simple and smooth, as you can watch on many a documentary. Also today in 1991, Pan American World Airways, Pan Am, ceased its operations after 64 years.
And also on December 4th, 1998, the Unity module, the second module of the International Space Station is launched.
December 4th, 2017, the Pontiac Silverdome in Pontiac, Michigan is imploded. That's where the Detroit Lions used to play. After a day of failure to implode, it took... Boom! Nope, that didn't work. Boom!
Go back,
nope.
Go back in there, Chuck, and see if you can fix it.
Yeah. Twist those wires back together. It's about 30 miles from Detroit. It first opened in 1975.
Wow.
Happy birthday goes out of this day to American bacteriologist and geneticist, Nobel Prize laureate, Alfred Hershey, born on this date in 1908.
And Pappy Boyington, American colonel and pilot, Medal of Honor recipient, was born on the same date in 1912.
Pappy Baba Black Sheep Boyington. You ever watch that show?
Yes. No. I know, I'm familiar with it, but no.
American game show host and producer Wink Martindale was born in the state in 1933.
And American actor Jeff Bridges is 70 today.
American computer programmer and author Eric S. Raymond was born in the state in 1957.
And also turning 55 today is American actress Marisa Tomei.
I almost thought that said, like, my sister's name, Martha Tomasi. When I read it really fast. It's just one of those programmed things. Listener birthdays this week include Super Moon Man, born on the 6th. December 7th, a date which will live in infamy, is also the birthday of Peter, a.k.a. Zipster, from Zip & Co., which is a podcast in Weymouth, Dorset, UK. That is one of our longer titles. Dan D. Mann, one of our Patreon patrons, is on the 8th. As well as Gideon and Steve Kite, a.k.a. Big Unit 62, is on the 9th. Happy birthday to all of you. If it's your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. If it's not, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki, get your name on the birthday calendar. We give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year because we just love our listeners and wishing them the happiest of birthdays. That's the way it was on this day for... December 4th, 2019. And are we done yet? Are we done yet? Probably not.
Almost.
Wait. Yeah. We'll know right here. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes? Yes!
There we go.
I thought it was just gonna fade out. We're right there. I have half a mind to do one of these things with like the different panels where you see somebody doing each instrument.
Yeah. One day we're going to hire a real band to do that.
Why do we need to do that?
I think it'd be fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
For the heck of it.
I'll have the brass section in our church give it a try. See how that goes.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. We have news. This is, do you call this good news or bad news? I'm not sure how you want to take this.
It's sad news.
Is this bad news?
Bad news, nobody.
All right. Why don't you take the story then? It's bad news.
Yeah. So Hollywood Superman, a frequent of Jimmy Kimmel Live guest, will be buried in his costume. So
did you ever see him on Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah, I've seen him on there before. Okay. I've seen him around.
I don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, it just so happens I'm wearing my Geek Out with Mainframe shirt.
I know. Yeah. That's right. No, I don't necessarily watch the show live, but I do. You go. Yeah, nice. But I do see it from the YouTube clips, you know, from time to time. So anyway, a crowdfunding campaign had been started to provide funeral costs for Dennis, Christopher Dennis, who was homeless and died trying to obtain clothing from a donation bin. He had told friends that he wanted to be buried in his Superman costume, but the cost of a full funeral put that wish into jeopardy until the benefactor donated the final funds.
Very nice.
Yeah, so Christopher Dennis, he was 52. He was a fixture along the Walk of Fame for more than 25 years, posing for photos with many tourists who milled around in the crowded sidewalks on the Strip and the Hollywood Highland Mall and the TCL Chinese Theater. He also appeared several times on Jimmy Kimmel Live and was the star of a docu-series on his life, The Kid, Adventures in Hollywood Superman. He was also featured in one of the stars of the 2007 documentary Confessions of a Superhero, which chronicled the lives of four characters who regularly worked the Hollywood Boulevard sidewalk. And you've probably seen all these characters. They do people that do dress up, and they, you know, you can give them a few bucks and they'll
take
a picture
with. I see them
in Vegas. They do it in New York too, you know, also. But he died in trying to get into one of those clothing bins. I guess you see like in a parking lot or something like that. And he died trying to get in there and get some clothes. They said there was no foul play suspected, but apparently he had some demons that could be an issue. And that's what some people said in the video. So
that's
I don't know.
Too bad.
Yeah. So, anyway, there was,
he was 52.
It was only 52. And like I said, they raised the money, to get the money. And, the update was that Hollywood Superman, Christopher Dennis, will be buried in his costume after an anonymous donor stepped up to pay for his funeral and fulfill his final wishes.
And apparently DC has no problem with that.
No, I hope not. Hey, actually, he does bear a striking resemblance to Christopher Reeve, though.
Kind of, yeah.
So,
I suppose if you were thin and got into that costume and did your hair that way, almost anybody would resemble Christopher Reeve or look like Superman.
Yeah. Kind of so you can point. Go. There's some video down there, and you can see him. And yeah. Oh well.
All right.
Sorry.
I'm going on to the next crazy story, which is in the Hacks and Strange Stories section. A Russian dairy farmer gave
you
his
could stop
cows
right there.
goggles with hopes they would be happier and make better milk. Hopes, I say, hopes. This is
VR
from
goggles.
CNN.com, people. Keep that in mind. Virtual reality isn't just for video games anymore. The technology is changing industries that many people had never thought it would, such as, checks notes, dairy farming? Okay. And here you thought technology couldn't get any weirder. That's why Technorama exists, right there.
Yeah, that's right.
A farm just outside Moscow is testing VR glasses for its cows, it says, in an effort to increase the quantity and quality of milk produced. According to the news release published Monday from the Ministry of Agriculture of the Moscow region, it came accompanied by photos of a cow trying out its fancy new goggles. And it looks like This doesn't make sense. Because cows have eyes on the sides of their head, yet.
Well, yeah, basically, yeah. I mean, you'd have to have some weird-looking goggles.
And these don't look weird. These look like you just slapped a larger version of VR goggles on a cow.
Yeah.
But anyway, we checked the date. Nope, it's not April 1st. This is for December 1st. We're recording this. The ministry rationalizes it like this. Studies have shown that cows' environmental conditions can impact the milk produced, specifically improving its quality or increasing its quantity. So, a team of developers, with the help of veterinarians and consultants for dairy production, made some oversized VR glasses for cows. They adapted the human versions to account for cows' different head shapes and eyesight, the news release says. And then, voila, cow VR glasses! And they look exactly like you would expect, a cow wearing VR goggles. And what were these cows experiencing with the new VR glasses? Imagine this, a wild, expansive field beneath a summer sun. It's a cow's virtual paradise. So far, it's unclear if the glasses have helped milk production. Further study will be needed for that, but a first test did reveal a decrease in anxiety and increase in the emotional mood of the herd. That's what the release said. To be fair, if it were transported to a vast field of summertime, our anxiety and emotional mood would be better too. Yeah, you're probably right. Russian dairy farmers aren't the only ones going the extra mile to keep their cows happy and improve product. How much does one of these units cost and how many cows do you got? That's my next question.
Well, I was just thinking you had to make a special one for a cow. How much would just the first one cost?
Right. Get those mass produced. And then you're going to need a new for your pigs and your sheep.
Yeah. So what are they showing these? I think they're showing them.
Don't even get me started on the tens of thousands of chickens.
I was gonna say that. The VR goggles are showing them visions of chickens being slaughtered, you know, wow. Kind of like Chick-fil-A.
That makes the cows happy.
Yeah, like the Chick-fil-A commercial.
Eat more chicken.
Yeah.
The cow holding up the sign with chicken spelled wrong.
They're just showing them Chick-fil-A commercials, you know, rile them up.
Nice. All right. Normally we'd give a shout out to the chat room, but we're still experiencing some bandwidth problems. I thought they were all resolved this weekend, but unfortunately they're not. We tried to go live and the stream died. So I will be back on. We have narrowed it down. It's not the ISP. It is my Google equipment. So we continue to debug, and when we get that resolved, we will resume the streaming. Until then, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel over at youtube.com. Look for Technorama Podcast. That's us. And we'll give you a shout out when we get streaming again. So thank you very much. And I'd also like to take this moment to thank our patrons who, despite our bandwidth issues, continue to support the show. People with great hearts and great names like Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, other spectacular people like Megapodtastic, Nightgig Studios, and Gary Lindros. Only one of those three is using the real name. Can you guess which one? John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
Yes, that's John Noble.
That's ours. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media. I suspect another alias. Steve Therian, Jorga Schrawen, and John Miller Jr. Thank you very much. Thank you, Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis, Stephen Wetchy, Dean Jensen, Birthday Mandy Mancoyer. NCAF 1, sparkling caffeinated. What did you say?
Sparkling?
Matt Baum and our latest Patreon member, Christina. If you would like to join these wonderful people, you can go over to our Patreon page. It's on the screen there. If you're watching, if you are listening, you probably remember from the last episode, it's patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And for as little as a dollar a show, you can get extra content and your name read with such glowing gratitude that words can't describe. So thank you very much. These are the people that keep the show going. Bandwidth, hosting, equipment, software upgrades, you name it. Continual calls to internet service provider support.
Yeah.
That's all on us. We really...
Endless calls.
We work hard for you, and we appreciate that token in return. So... thank you very much, and we will get back to you as soon as the music fades out and I stop the music. There we are. So, onward to the media. We didn't take a break, did we? We just plowed right through that.
No, let's just keep on going.
Let's just keep on going, because I don't think I lined up a couple of things anyway. I'd have to go hunt them down out of the folders. Let's continue on with the media corner then.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
I read the cow VR, you get the Lego ones.
Okay, fair enough. So Lego AI and motion tracking to turn guests into the minifigures at its New York theme park. And in other news, I didn't know they had a New York theme park.
Neither did I.
Yeah. So have you ever dreamed of turning yourself into an inch tall plastic figure who can't bend their legs and arms every day and must interact with the world using a pair of lobster-like claws? Lego's new theme park opening next year in New York. Okay. No wonder they don't have it yet. Will make a dream a reality by using sophisticated motion tracking and neural network facial recognition. The opening July 4th of next year, the Legoland New York Resort will be located in Agoshen, New York, which is about 60 miles northwest of New York City. When completed, it will be the first, one of the largest Legoland theme parks with a full hotel en route and various interactive attractions, including the Lego Factory Adventure Ride. Okay. Like most of the newer indoor attractions being installed in theme parks, the Lego Factory Adventure Ride will be a trackless dark ride experience. Kind of reminds me of Magic Mountain or Space Mountain.
Yeah, Space Mountain's got tracks, but similar. Yeah.
Okay. But no, but just dark. It's pretty dark in there. Anyway, so the visitors will be strapped in, and they'll be paraded through an interactive narrative. The vehicles themselves aren't tethered to the track. They just kind of roll around themselves.
Well, it's kind of like, I think it was MIB, where you're on the little car and it goes through the city and spins around.
Yeah, you weren't on a track with that, but
it's like a wire. You're reading RF from the floor, whatever it is, or it's programmed to go in a certain route.
Yeah. So I was looking for the part about the AI thing. Anyway, you can see the little video at the top where the girls.
Donna was playing that on the video a minute ago.
Yeah, so they're interacting and they're raising their arms and doing it. It was kind of cool. Anyway, I think it'd be cool. I had a good time going to Legoland when we went there years ago in Carlsbad.
I want to know if you put a drink in your hand, will it have a cup on your avatar?
That would be kind of cool.
Because you got those lobster claws. It's like, what could you put in there that would also work?
You got a Coke in your hand, and then the avatar shows like a little a cup with
It looked like it was more than just the body positions, the arms and your head, but the smile also appeared when the lady would smile. Her avatar would do the same kind of thing.
We've already had this though. It was on the Wii. Remember the Miis?
So
the Miis were probably kind of fun to play around with.
They would walk around on their own, just kind of mulling around in a crowd. Oh, there's the Darth Vader one.
Hey, they take your picture on the ride in the cart, and you look up for your picture, and there you are as a Lego.
Sure, why not?
Instead of your real face.
And you got this. Anyway. And then there's
pretty good.
There's Grandpa Choco.
Yeah.
The sleeping Lego minifig.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool, though. They talked about AI in that last one, and we're going to talk more about AI. Can artificial intelligence find new planets for us? On a clear night, you might easily see Jupiter, Mars, and other planets from our solar system. This is how astronomers for thousands of years discovered the first planets. We cannot directly observe planets that are farther out in than our own solar system, as are Neptune and Uranus, so of course we cannot see planets that orbit other stars. However, with modern telescopes and satellites like the Kepler mission, it's possible to find the first planets outside our solar system, also known as exoplanets. These discoveries are essential for better knowledge of our galaxy and universe, as well as the search for life elsewhere. TESS, the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, is NASA's new planetary hunter. It is the first mission of its kind that will cover the whole sky. The satellite is a space telescope equipped with four cameras that will help astronomers by discovering thousands of exoplanets orbiting nearby stars. It will do that by monitoring hundreds of thousands of stars for 2 years and collecting information about their light. Every time a planet passes in front of a star, some of the star's light is blocked, so it appears dimmer to us. Analyzing the brightness of the stars over time to identify these events is called the transit method, and it is one of the most common techniques for finding exoplanets. However, in practice, it's hard to tell the difference between dimming due to real planets and dimming due to natural variations in brightness, not to mention variations in the instrument itself and other reasons. So you got to get a lot of data so you can smooth those curves out and find out where it really is. Normally, these signals are analyzed by experts who try to distinguish planets from other signal sources. Human decisions can be biased, and also the huge amount of data produced by TESS, we would need an army of scientists to analyze it. Or you do the SETI at home thing and just let everybody analyze it for you. So scientists are looking for a precise and automatic way of processing test data in order to detect these planet signals. Need to make the font just a little larger. I'm struggling.
I know, it is kind of small.
Okay, there we go. Deep neural networks are a type of artificial intelligence that was thought to have potential for helping even replacing humans at identifying new planet signals. Deep neural networks are computer processes called algorithms. And they are, what?
No, I'm just laughing at algorithms.
That was my Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
Organisms.
Organisms.
And they are algorithms, and they are unique in that they work like our brains and can learn by themselves to do specific tasks. They do this by learning information from examples, the same way students try to learn math or maths at the beginning and do not do it very well. Some of us didn't do it very well most of the other time, too. But the more problems they try, the better they get at it. Deep neural networks can be used for face or speech recognition, cancer diagnosis, weather prediction, and autonomous cars, amongst other applications. So, go out there and solve our problems for us, deep neural networks.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll find more planets. I think that makes total sense, because if we're going to have massive amounts of data to analyze and numbers to crunch, you want those computers that are doing it. And like I said, it might not be all that accurate at first, but as it learns over time, we will get better.
Now, if they could just get the AI to do my taxes.
I'm not going to trust that quite yet. It's a free program downloadable from the government.
Yeah. It's AI. Don't worry about it. It's all right. I'll do
just
your taxes.
Give it your bank account number and it'll take care of the rest.
What do you mean I owe $10 million?
What do you mean I don't have any money left?
I've never made $10 million.
All right, we have then the Geek Library is all that's left. This is just a cool song. I like hearing it. Yep. Okay. What would happen if you didn't use social media, Craig?
I've done it. Actually, people start going, "Hey, where you at? Where have you been?"
And how did you feel after that?
It depends. Sometimes I've gotten frustrated with it, and I just kind of not do anything for a few days, you know, or a week or whatever. Well, how about you?
I have to say, I haven't felt the need to abstain, so I haven't. So, unless it's a vacation where I'm without bandwidth, it hasn't impacted me negatively. So read on about this wonderful study that they found.
Sure. So, so abstaining from social media doesn't improve well-being experiment study finds, but there's a twist on this, I believe. Anyway, so from digital detoxes to the recent Silicon Valley fad of dopamine fasting, It seems more fashionable than ever, excuse me, I'm getting choked up here, to attempt to abstain from consuming digital media. Underlying all of these trends and the assumption that using devices being on the social media is, in particular, is somehow unhealthy. And if we abstain, we might be happier, more fulfilled people.
Well, it depends. If you're reading all those political ads and getting angry at them, then yeah, you might be better off abstaining. But yeah. I don't read those, so I'm not unhappy.
Yeah, I don't really care about those kind of stuff. But is there any truth to this belief when it comes to social media? At least a new paper in the media psychology suggests that not. It is one of the few experimental studies in the field. Researchers have found that quitting social media for up to 4 weeks does nothing to improve your well-being or quality of life. So many past psychological studies in the social media onto social media have relied on the correlation data, looking at how individual differences in social media use, screen time more generally, relate to well-being. That makes sense. It's far more easier to look at existing patterns of use than to conduct a controlled experiment, particularly in a world where we are using digital media every day, but it also makes it harder to separate out the cause and effect. Even if social media is associated with poor well-being, how can we be sure we already are unhappy and are not simply using social media more often, for instance? So anyway, the study goes on to talk about that. What I think was interesting, and I saw this on some comments related to this article, was, you know, 4 weeks is not that much of a time. So the problem is, if that short of a period of time, you're not going to have an improved well-being, I don't think. But maybe it's staying longer, maybe. It depends. But I don't really have a problem in the sense, like you mentioned, with social media, you know, messing around with it daily. But there are just times when I feel like I'm just overworked and stuff, and I just ain't got time to mess with it, and I just live it. It's like, forget it, you know?
Right.
You know, that's what I was talking about when I get not frustrated with social media per se, just getting tired of posting this or list reading that, or especially just scrolling, mindless scrolling through the news feeds gets old, I think, a little bit. So sometimes I'll take a little break, but I don't know if it makes me better or happier or not.
I think it really depends on the individual, and it doesn't go into a lot of details about what the study involved. Is this focused on people who have problems with social media, that they're inattentive to other things like the personal relationships in their lives and they're just glued to their phone? Or is this people that are, you know, generally angry in general, and this is just social media is an outlet for them? It really didn't have a whole lot of detail. So it's tough to, at least we didn't get into any details. They might've been in there, but I'm going to leave it at that. I don't need it, and I don't think it would make me any happier if I did.
The only thing that I have a problem with, and I'm certainly guilty of this in the past, and I'm trying not to be, you know, one of those people that's looking at their phones when I'm having dinner with my wife or family or, you know, friends or something like that. I try to not do that as much. Mm-hmm. Like I said, in the past, I've been guilty of it, but I've been mindful of it, and especially the last year or so, try not to. And I think that kind of stuff is not healthy, because you really need to work on your interpersonal skills as well, working, you know, building relationships or reinforcing your relationships with the people you're with or took time to be with.
Craig, so, put the phone down when you're being intimate with your wife.
wait, what? No, so I know I'm not perfect, but at the same time, it bugs me when I see a lot of people, even at another table, I'd look over and there's two people having dinner and they're, you know, they're just
texting
scrolling away.
Each other.
No, I don't think so. Does that kind of bug you when you're with people and they're always on their phones?
Yes. And I'm sure it bugs other people when I do it too.
Don't, yeah.
Like you said, not perfect, working on it.
Yeah. So
there are times for those things.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it's one thing, if everybody goes, "What's the name of that dude?" And then everybody kind of looks at their phone.
You're right.
But pulling up, you know, Instagram and just, you know, scrolling through it.
Ignore the notifications. The notification, which is a hard thing to do sometimes.
Yeah, and at dinner, I will put my phone in do not disturb, you know, while I'm sitting down with my family, and put the phone away, not even have it near the table, you know, and just trying to have that moment.
You don't have any more of those moments left. Your son's about to go off to college.
Well, I was just thinking the same thing. Yes, that's correct. So when we do have dinner together and I want to make it worth something.
Yep.
Getting a frog in my throat.
Choked up.
Not good. Yeah.
Let's go to our last story. This comes from former coworker Kevin, who said, this guy lives just a few doors away from me. So an 87-year-old Wisconsin man knew how he wanted to spend his fleeting time on Earth. In a heartwarming photo that has now gone viral, Norbert Shem was pictured with his sons having a beer inside a hospital room a day before his death, a moment that resonated with many online. His grandson, Adam, reflected on the picture he tweeted last Thursday and showed Norbert enjoying a bottle along with his wife, Joanne, and sons Bob, Tom, and John. Not that Bob and Tom. Oh, they're drinking Bud Light. No wonder the guy died.
Chuck, my gosh. Come on.
Hey, if I were going to go and I only had a day left on Earth, that ain't going to be my first choice.
Look, that was the only beer they had in the hotel commissary, okay?
The hospital?
Yeah. I'm sorry, hospital. Yes.
Did you get this from the urine samples lab? Come on, man. Quote, it was a really good family moment, and I know... it meant a lot to everyone, Shem told CBS News on Tuesday. The look on everyone's face is something to cherish. They are all smiling, including my grandfather, which is the guy holding the beer. And one guy's got a Packers shirt on. Good for him. Prior to the photo, Shem's grandfather. What's that?
I was just saying, I think it's a great picture, actually, to be honest with you.
Yep,
if you're going to be in that situation, you know, enjoy it.
And just the fact that you got away with beer in the hospital. Did they smuggle it in? Prior to the photo, Shem's grandfather had been in the hospital for a week. Shem explained things were getting worse, and eventually his father texted everyone in a family chat that his grandfather was going to have a beer. They all gathered, and his Aunt Paula, don't we know the Buchholz family, Donna? I thought so.
Do you know these people?
Well, no, it says his Aunt Paula Buchholz was, that's a fairly common name in the Appleton, Green Bay area. She took the photo. Shem then received the image and shared it on social media as a way to honor his grandpa. He captioned it, last night, and all he wanted to do was have one last beer with his sons. I love the photo, Shem told CBS News. It's such an authentic moment that although I was hesitant to share it publicly, it was just as real not to share. Or just so real not to share. The photo received more than 320,000 likes and 31,000 retweets. The comments were flooded with responses from all the people sharing their last memories with loved ones. I don't know you, but I felt this, social media user Ben Riggs tweeted. Days before my grandpa passed, he let my dad and I know he wanted a cigar and a beer. I don't think he would have got away with the cigar in the hospital, though.
No.
So this guy just settled for the beer. We made it happen. I'm so sorry for your loss. Your grandpa's smile is one for the books. Yeah, it really is. That's a great shot. And
down below, there's some responses of people doing similar things with their loved ones. There was, what it says, grandmother, my grandma did the same thing with shots of Bailey. And there's a Coors Light. I don't know if that's an upgrade or not down below.
Not.
Yeah. So anyway, but it doesn't matter. I would drink it with my dad. Although my dad,
I would too.
My dad's probably only have one. I don't even think he's had one beer in his life. Maybe two. I don't know. He barely drinks.
This one person's name on Twitter is Gnocchi Plate. The one with the grandma picture.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That takes us to the end of our stories on that heartwarming tale. And, again, we're heartwarmed that he got to spend the last few moments the way he wanted. And I hope I should reach a ripe old age and get what I want in the hospital, too. Our question of the week this week is, what was your biggest, that's how it works moment? Oh, my.
When I figured out how podcasts work.
Well, why don't you let me know? Because I don't know how these things work yet.
You don't know how they work?
Nope.
Yeah.
No, I know it has something to do with that book behind me, but
no, it's just, you know, the first, well, I joke about it, but the first time I read the word podcast.
Yes.
And I swear, I think it was on Slashdot and I went looking for the article. I just couldn't find it, but I remember catching the word podcast. I went, what is that? And that's when I started listening to Adam Curry, but I was listening to it through the website. I think I downloaded them manually, the MP3 and was listening to it. But I didn't realize right off the bat, oh, he was using this app to download them automatically and put them on his iPod, which was very convoluted at first.
Yeah.
You know, it was crazy trying to get that to sync with your with iTunes and all that. Anyway, I just remember going, oh, this is how it works.
It's just an RSS feed with another tag in it.
Yeah, it's got links to files. And, oh, okay. And then, you know, I think within the first month of being exposed to podcasts, I started getting an idea. Still a lot to run.
I'm going to have to think about that one. A lot of history to cover in those aha moments.
Well, let me ask you a question. So yes. Where was the first time you saw or where a podcast was referenced?
I was listening to Ken Radio on, I forgot what it was. It was one of those old streaming apps on Windows NT. I was on my old Toshiba laptop in 2004, writing code for my old ticketing system.
Right.
And I do recall, I was listening and they mentioned something about Engadget doing a podcast. And I think Philip Terone was on that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, podcast. So I quickly started searching for the term. And that's when I read the Engadget article, found the client. The directory was all of about 50 podcasts at the time, if that. And
yeah.
Started listening. And that's when I went, well, I could do this.
I know.
I could do a variant of this. Granted, there wasn't a grand plan in effect, like what kind of content at the time. But technically, it wasn't anything sophisticated.
Yeah. I just remember scanning the article and I saw a word podcast. I went, whoa. It was one of those words that kind of captured your attention, you know?
Right.
So, anyway.
All righty. That takes us to the end of the show. Thank you very much. If you want to get a hold of us, call us on the listener line. It's still, well, it's December 1st, but you know what? We're willing to extend this a little longer if you still want to play
the international voicemail month is 2 months long.
it's like the Christmas season.
Right. Yeah.
Starts in about July.
Yeah. Starts before Halloween and ends after the new year.
And then starts up again in 3 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much.
707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you wherever and whenever you are. That's 707-530-2428. At a +1 if you're outside the United States so that your call gets routed to us correctly, or routed if you're in one of those countries. Yeah. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us anywhere on the internet by going to, well, just searching for Technorama Podcast. You'll find us. It's out there. And again, huge shout out and thank you to our Patreon patron members. Craig, how many more shows do we have this year?
I would imagine 1, 2, 3, 4.
Four? You think we can get 4 in?
If we do one every week.
Well, we can't do one the 22nd. I'll be leaving on a cruise with Julie and Will and Donna. So,
all right, so we got 3.
We have at least 3. Thank you very much. It has been a wonderful 2019. We'll just leave it at that because we don't know if you're listening to this in 2019 or 2020. Till next time, Craig, would you be so kind as to give our listeners the traditional sign-off of a binary high five?
All right. 101. See y'all later. Buddy.